Good morning. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. It's Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. Thank you so much for joining us. We are also doing the Q&A show because it is Wednesday at 12 noon today. So please stay tuned for that. Please like, follow, and share. Thank you so much for your generous support. If you have questions and you're watching live in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour here on Wednesday morning, please go ahead and put those questions into the live chat. We will get to those. Producer Robbie West will put them up. Priority is going to go to your generous Rumble rants and super chats. So thank you so much for those. Good morning, JT. I'm going to give you the menu to choose from. All right. So the slush fund, the $1.8 billion, which even the numbers have been weaponized because the administration made it $1.776 billion. See what they did there. And then liberal media rounded it to 1.8. But that slush fund is no more. But I don't know if it's going to come back in some other form. Certainly the most important residual is that Trump is not going to face any charges from the IRS, at least about past activities. We can go over the breakdown, the primary results that we have so far. It looks like California is going to avoid a one-party gubernatorial primary, but we'll see about that. There's a kind of 1970s rehash situation going on in downtown Bakersfield, California right now, where there's an ongoing 24-hour-long hostage crisis where a dude took over a Chase Manhattan bank and is holding hostages. It's a very like Dog Day Afternoon scenario. And finally, but last but not least, there's a, what the Clash kind of called a white riot going on in Southampton in the UK, in Southern UK, although the Clash had something different in mind. These are right wingers furious about the death and the murder and of a white college student by a Sikh guy and how the police decided to handle it. And so even Elon Musk is weighing in on this. So anyway, it's all your, and if that or anything else suits, let's talk about it.
So let's go with the white riot, as you called it.
The Clash wanted like a socialist left wing uprising by white punks. That's what they were calling for. This is not that. This is, there's a very hard right tradition in England going back to Oswald Mosley and the British fascist movement, the skinheads, the oi punks and all that. And that strain is still alive and well on the streets of cities like Southampton. So anyway, I should just sort of explain what happened. So back in December, this guy, Vikram Digwa, approached a college student named Henry Nowak, 18 years old, stabbed him 5 times with a Sikh knife, like a traditional curved Sikh dagger. But, by most accounts, he was mentally ill and obsessed with weapons. A jury has subsequently found him guilty, did not believe anything he had to say, although parenthetically, their justice system is different than ours. They don't have the presumption of innocence and all that. Anyway, I wasn't in the courtroom. I don't know if it was, but it seems pretty clear that he did do it. Henry Nowak lay dying, the cops basically believed the assailant's story that he had been the victim of racial abuse, that Henry Nowak had approached him and called him names or whatnot. This didn't happen. And that basically the cops believed the assailant and handcuffed him, denied him medical treatment, let him die on the street, kind of like a perverse version, like a reverse version of what happened to George Floyd, basically he died. The police body cam footage was just released recently, exposing not only what happened to the kid, but more importantly, how the cops foolishly responded to all this and acted. And it's hard to watch. Anyway, so these right wingers have been rioting in the streets. 11 cops have been injured. And so far, the streets are, there's rubble all over the place. I mean, it's mayhem in Southampton, England.
So just so I'm getting straight. So a mentally ill Sikh stabs a white guy, a student, multiple times. When the cops come, he says, "Well, that white guy was calling me names, and so I had to what, defend myself and stab
So I'm
him."
not clear on that part. I mean, I think he's claiming that he was he claims that he was attacked and defended himself with the knife.
Okay. In which case, they put the white guy who was injured in handcuffs and effectively let him down the streets.
That's it.
That's outrageous either way you look at it.
Sure.
Like, even going back to story by itself. Okay, one guy has a knife. There's no weapon on the other guy. That guy's laying on the ground bleeding, and the cops handcuff the guy that's on the ground bleeding who can't make his case because he's on the ground bleeding. Like, meaning, you've done something to me that I can't really explain to you that this guy did something to me, and you're taking the story of the guy who stabbed this other guy. That's a little weird by itself. Like, meaning, taking out the racial distinctions and taking out the racial stuff. By itself, that's problematic, right?
For sure.
Especially considering that this is the guy with the knife. In America, I get the sense that they would have caught the guy with the knife who did the stabbing, not the guy, like, meaning, even if I'm saying it's strange, I'm sorry. I get the sense that in America, the person who did the stabbing would be the person who's sitting in the handcuffs, regardless of the story that the stabber had. It's a little bit weird that they put the cuffs on the guy who's laying there bleeding, not the guy who actually did the stabbing, even if the guy was right with the stabbing. Meaning, even if this guy was right and said, "Hey, this other guy attacked me," it looks like they would still put the guy in handcuffs in America. Just looking at, I'm a sucker for interrogations and for police footage. And one of the things that you would notice is that the person who's doing and committing the violence is usually the one that is putting handcuffs, regardless of whether they were in the right or not. They may let you go later in the night, but in the moment, we're trying to maintain the scene, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a little bit weird by itself. Let's be very clear, though. They are obviously using this, meaning they're using the kid's death for their ends, which is gross. It's gross. The justice system did its job. They convicted the person who did the killing.
To life in prison.
Yeah, he's in prison. So what are they flipping out about? They got what they wanted. The guy did go to jail. He did get put in a cage. This is not necessarily a quote-unquote norm in the way that I would understand a norm in the way that cops necessarily behave. I think they're using it just for their own ends. At least
I
that's
mean,
my
I
take.
agree. I mean, look, I think what they claim to be angry about is that the police took the word of a person of color assailant over a white guy. I guess you'd call it woke on steroids, right? I agree with you. Look, a person who is down on the ground bleeding, no matter what preceded that, shouldn't be handcuffed anyway, even if they're the assailant. I mean, I never understood this. It's like the guy's injured. A person is injured. You have a bunch of beefy police officers there. What's really going to happen? Is that guy getting up and going anywhere? Like, no. So for that, I mean, it's like use common sense. Like I don't understand, like in the hospital when you have an assailant and they handcuff him to the bed.
He's like four bullet wounds in him, and he's
Yeah,
handcuffed to the
and where is he
bed.
going? Where is he going? It's like, it's like, be serious, guys. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. We have some comments related to this.
I know we have a chest tube in that gap, but you never know.
So let's go to this. Ek Ong Kar, it's a lie. He was not stabbed by a kirpan, the Sikh knife. He was stabbed by another knife he had on him that was longer than his religious required knife. Okay, well, I'm going to take that at face.
Either way, what does it matter?
This does not
That's a
matter.
distinction
Well,
without
thanks
a
for the
difference.
$10 donation. The correction is always worthwhile, but a longer knife. Going to jail.
It's even worse stabbing. Okay.
Right.
We accept stabbing.
No, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it is, yeah, I mean, it's that sense of white grievance, right? Like we're put upon, they all, I mean, this is like, it's Wally world, right? I mean, that's just not the real world in the UK or anywhere else, where all things being equal, the white guy is going to be disbelieved. That's not That I guess that happened here, but that doesn't happen much.
That's
I
not
mean,
normal.
it's not typical, so
Yeah.
therefore to claim, well, here we go again, is not correct, right?
Which is the sense that I get out of this. This is the whole Tommy Robinson stuff, right? And then, of course, Elon Musk is going to come in and add his white grievance because he was part of South Africa where they were effectively maligning the black population. And he, can no longer feel the benefits of that advantage. Look, obviously, the cops' behavior in this is problematic, regardless of the
They were
race.
fucking idiots.
Yeah, they're idiots. So it's not, to me, this is less about the racial thing is added to it by them with this grievance stuff. It's like, dude, come off it.
No, that is true. All right, so K. Greg, thanks so much for the $10 donation. Keep on programming. K. Greg also has a question. What's the PayPal user ID for donations? Let me go ahead and put that up. The answer to that question is D. Programming, it's deprogrampodcast@gmail.com. Again, deprogrampodcast@gmail.com. And just to remind you, like how that works, we have this new configuration that Trent has asked me to remind you guys of. We have, if you're watching on YouTube, you want to subscribe, it's $5 a month to subscribe, $20 a month to be thanked on the closing credits. And $50, which is like a sustaining membership, and $50 for access to exclusive monthly chat with Jamarl and myself. We're going to be doing the first one of those later this week, maybe over the weekend or something like that. So we'll keep you posted on that. Again, it's deprogrampodcast@gmail.com. You can also email us there as well. Okay, thank you very much. Marky Mark. Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's your French ancestors who don't have the presumption of innocence, and the English legal system that the U.S. system inherited does. That's not my understanding. I don't think that's true. The French legal system, certainly, the
French.
Napoleonic Code does not have a presumption of innocence, and they have a completely interesting and strange criminal justice system where basically the prosecutors and the defendants stand at the top at the front of the courtroom. And they interrogate each other, they talk. And the theory is that you're basically trying to arrive in good faith, even though it's not oppositional. You're trying to arrive in good faith at the truth. And so they can interrogate each other, they can interrogate each other's witnesses at any time. It's like a convo. And in the UK, they are the basis of our system, but they don't have correct me, any English viewers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you have the same presumption of innocence in a British criminal court as you do in the United States, where the entire burden lies on the prosecutor. In order, your defendant doesn't have to prove anything. And F you so, thanks for the dollar. Don't you know that words are violence, according to AOC? That guy had to stab him. I mean, well, there were no words though, anyway. John D. Rockefeller, people near death can have a burst of energy in the moments immediately preceding death, which is partially why the dead and dying get handcuffed. Yeah, that's true, but I mean, and
Mean,
I.
but come on, man. Like, we put it in context, right? I'm not saying the criminal was running away, stumped their toe, and it's like, okay, we'll just let him lay there with a stumped toe. I mean, like, there are four bullet wounds in him. The guy's bleeding blood through his mouth, and they're still handcuffed the guy, and the guy just laying there handcuffed. And it's like, okay,
And you have multiple cops there,
yeah.
right? I mean, that's a thing that we keep forgetting, where it's like, oh, you have like who knows how many, right? But let's just say you have four or five cops. Okay, so randomly, any four people can overcome randomly any one person. You know what I mean? Like the four skinny 14-year-olds can overcome Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I'm just saying, there's four or five. I think, yeah.
Skinny, so the skinny rock, yes, the one that is not
Not
on steroids now.
now,
Have you
not Big
seen
Rock.
him?
Oh, I know he's a planet now. He has his own
No, what I mean is
gravitational
like
field.
he, well, he lost, like, so the rock was huge.
Yeah.
He stopped doing steroids that he doesn't own up to the fact that he was using it, and he just
Obviously.
loses weight almost like overnight.
Obviously, he was using steroids. And you know how we know that, right? Because if you look at bodybuilders from like 100 years ago, nobody looks like that.
No. He looks like a regular dude. Well, that's,
yeah, that's so funny. Okay. And horses are people too. It has everything to do with race, though. Not necessarily the angle that Sikhs are violent. Yeah. But because the government will let immigrants get away with almost any crime they please. Yeah, that's the narrative. I appreciate that comment. That is definitely the narrative.
That's the way they look at it. Right. That is the way they look at it. I don't
Yeah.
think that's true, but that is the way they look at it.
Yeah, I don't think that's true either. Yeah, I mean it's an interesting, grievance narrative. All right, so I think we can leave that there unless you have anything you want to add to that.
No, nothing else. It's just wow. It's just wow. And of course, Elon Musk jumping in.
So
Stupid
yeah, well,
idiot.
Elon Musk just can't help himself. It's like that Afrikaner heritage is just gonna always come out. So it's like, where are the victims here? Sure you are, Elon. Okay, so several buildings in downtown Bakersfield, California, are on lockdown. An unidentified man entered a Chase Bank yesterday. He barricaded himself in with an unknown number of people, presumably both customers and staff. And two hostages have been released so far. Everyone else is apparently still safe. Negotiations are ongoing. This really does remind me of something that used to happen all the time in the 1970s when I was a kid, and is immortalized in movies like Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino, amazing film. I mean, look, let's hope that blah blah blah, everyone gets out safe, obviously, including the hostage taker. But I mean, America's starting to feel increasingly like the 1970s again, like the center's not holding. Like things are breaking. I mean, I'm going to assume this is a person who was psychologically imbalanced, and that would cause them to do this. When you do this, you're not coming out, you're not likely to come out alive. You're certainly not going to come out a free man with a bag of cash. There's something wrong with you when you decide to do it. It was, and you could get away with things like that maybe back then when there weren't cameras all over the place, but there are now. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, this is a symptom. That's why I put it into the rundown. I thought it was an interesting story. I will applaud the cops for waiting and negotiating and not talking and not rushing right in and killing everybody, which is their want. Good on you guys for hanging back, really, truly. There's no rush here. But
Yeah.
still, I mean, what do you make of this?
Well, they've dusted off the old hostage negotiators. Like the subjects, like the moves, like Denzel Washington, he's on the bike, he's talking to the
My
guy on the phone.
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do anything hasty, man. No, man, I'm not going to do anything hasty. I just have a wife and kids. Tell me about your wife and kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's back and forth. That is fascinating. You're right. It does feel like a 70s thing. I haven't seen this in a very long time where somebody goes into a bank and just takes hostages. And of course, yeah, those old movies
I need a
where,
plane to Cuba.
yeah, you're right, exactly. It's like there's a tunnel underneath the thing where they climb in there. Yeah, all things being equal, providing this is not kind of something from a movie set, yeah, you don't come out of this intact, and meaning you can come out alive. You're not coming out free, which
No.
also adds a certain amount of drama onto the events. Because the rub is, you're stuck in this position of, okay, what happens in this moment? The person is not coming out, or at the very least, they don't believe they're coming out free. So you as a hostage negotiator, what do you tell this guy to get this guy to walk out without injuring the people who are around him? That's not an easy space to be in. And you're right. Thankfully, the cops didn't necessarily go in guns a-blazing, and they at the very least tried dialogue first.
Yeah.
So I don't know. By the way, do we know what the guy wants?
We don't know. No. I mean, we it's
Here's
the
what he wants.
reports are sketchy. It's all just local TV. It's not a national, it's not the CNN van hasn't pulled up yet. So, I mean, I assume they're on their way if this keeps going. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously there's things you can say. Look, you can make a life for you. I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to be in prison probably, but you'll have a right to a trial. You'll be able to explain yourself. And anyway, there is life in prison is better than no life at all. These are
I don't know
all,
about that.
yeah, a lot of people don't believe that, which is why they eat a gun before they, rather than surrender.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. I mean, maybe if it's something tangible that you can get for somebody else, My kid needs health care, or my kid needs a surgery.
Your kid
My
can still visit you in prison. Your kid, as opposed to your kid, will be a fucking mess if you're dead.
true. Yeah, but in that case, you don't go in the first place. I
True.
don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I
I don't
mean,
know because I
I'm
know what you
dying to
expect.
find out the details here. Yeah.
Same here, because it's a one-way street. Unless you have you're a super villain. You could say, hey, I want a helicopter, but you're not going to get a helicopter.
No.
I want to ride to the river in a boat to Cuba. You're not going to get those things. So I don't know the
It's like the
aim.
hostage negotiation in RoboCop. I want a really fast car with really bad gas mileage, and I want to be mayor.
It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. I don't know what he had planned on getting out of it. But I never know what people plan on when they have one-way things.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like with the tech aspect, with drones, license plate readers, facial recognition, and so on. I mean, I remember this when they installed facial recognition cameras on all the major bridge crossings in and out of New York City, and at the time, Governor Andrew Cuomo was complaining that people like me would drop our window visors as we went under the cameras, right? I always do that. A lot of smart New Yorkers do that. Oh, it doesn't help. You have a license plate. But they wait for you on the other side. They have state troopers on the other side of the bridge. And if you have like an outstanding warrant, they nail you. It's crazy. And I remember Cuomo said, oh, like you're not going to get away with that. We're working on technology that could read your elbow sitting in the car window. That can ID you by your elbow. Now, I don't know if he was bullshitting or not, but the point is, the whole idea of, I mean, just think about all the shit people could get away with. I think it's one of my theories for why there are fewer serial killers and stuff now. It's just that there's cameras everywhere. It's just like there's you're just not. Look at the University of Idaho, murderer. That guy, he got like geofenced, right, by his phone. Next time, leave your phone at home, I guess, when you're out killing people.
I don't know if you've ever watched Dexter. He got caught
Yes.
at the end, but he got caught like a decade later when he realized he had a kid, and the kid was committing murders where Dexter tried to help. In which case he was out of, meaning he couldn't be Dexter. He couldn't do the stuff that he was able to do the first time around, like in the 2000s.
Exactly.
This
I
case.
love Dexter's a great show. I guess there's a He Comes Back show that came out a couple years ago or a year
He went to
ago.
jail. That's what I'm saying. In that last show,
Oh,
he went to
is
jail.
it any good?
It was weird because he had a kid. So it's kind of like, I love my
It's
kid. And so now I'm doing things to protect my kid, which is making my life miserable or putting me at risk. It wasn't like he just started killing on his own for no reason again. It was, I'm
Yeah, I
trying to
don't know if
protect.
that. I think that seems out of character for Dexter's character because Dexter himself was the beneficiary. I know the writers were like, well, that's what his dad did for him. But his dad wasn't like him. And he is like him. And he was a sociopath and a psycho. Well, he was a psychopath. And he didn't care, so therefore he wouldn't have had those attachments.
He was weird on that front. I mean, like if you notice, like at a certain point, he had a wife and kid, but he,
And his sister.
yeah, and his sister.
He was close
He
to his
cared about his
sister.
sister. Like, meaning there were things that he cared. How can I say this? It's very weird. You can define something as yours even if you can't entirely feel a complete attachment to it, if that makes sense. Or do you think that's bullshit? Like this idea, like a person can be a psychopath. They cannot entirely feel stuff about stuff, but they can define stuff as theirs. Like a narcissist of sorts. Yeah, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like, sure, I mean, I have feelings in the sense of the way people would normally have feelings, but I have attachments.
Yeah,
Hope that
exactly.
makes sense. Maybe I'm not making sense. He
No,
clearly, his kid is his.
I mean, I get it. I don't know if anyone else does. By the way, we're being yelled at. I guess I'm being yelled at. Ek Ong Kar, we've lost a viewer. Suggest that next time you guys pull a news story to cover, you don't spread racist, xenophobic propaganda and actually try to present the facts. I'm a longtime listener, but no more. This is the guy who complained about the knife aspect. this kind of thing always reminds me, longtime viewer, but no more. So that means you watched this show and you watched hundreds of stories. You watched hundreds of hours of us talking, right? And so this reminds me of this friend of mine who was a fan of George Carlin. She said, "Oh, I was a huge fan. I went to see all his concerts. I listened. I bought all his albums. I loved George Carlin. But then he told that one joke, and now he's dead to me." And I was like, "Well, but I mean, who bats 1,000, right? I mean, it's like so you need to agree with someone 100% of the time. Like 99% is not enough for you. I mean, you're going to be a hard to please person, you know? I mean, here we are talking about politics, which is controversial, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to correct those mistakes on the air when we find out about them in real time. That's not good enough for you. Okay, bye.
What are they bitching about?
That we got the knife wrong.
That's their complaint.
That's their fucking complaint. It was reported that way. What do you want from me?
So their issue is that the knife...
I wasn't there. Who cares what kind of knife it was? Does it matter?
It was a fucking knife.
Who gives a shit?
But then it's a knife. Like,
what? It's like race is not involved if he used a non, like, you know, ethnic knife?
Yeah. It's like, well, you guys said that the knife was wrong, so it was racist, and so we're leaving. It's a fucking knife. Anyway, right. You look at it, it's a knife. Like, what's the big, like, come on, man, are you serious right now?
I know. No, it's true. Yeah. I mean, by the way, the George Carlin joke was actually pretty funny, which was, have you ever noticed that women who are against abortion are women you wouldn't want to fuck anyway? But anyway, no, I mean, it's like, honestly, that's like anyone who traffics in commentary, or humor, or political humor, or satire, they're basically going to lose their entire audience over time because eventually they're going to say something that's going to piss off, you know, everybody who listens to them. And then they just die alone.
Well, Dave Chappelle is really an example. But the difference is he refused to be canceled.
Right, like he's uncancelable.
Yeah, he's uncancelable. He just kept going. He's like, dude, are you...
You can refuse to be canceled. Louis C.K. was like, I'm taking a 1-year break, but then I refuse.
Nothing you said was controversial.
Nothing we said was controversial. That's what's confusing me. I hate that shit.
I'm the guy that they should be mad at. My question is why is this Sikh who's mentally ill even in the country in the first place? It's not the responsibility of the British taxpayer to take care of a mentally ill migrant. Send his ass right on back where he
comes. We don't know that he's a migrant.
He's a Sikh. Send him back where he comes from. Bye.
Okay, you're aware of the history of the English Empire, right?
Exactly. Sure. He could literally be born and raised there.
He could be fifth generation.
Send his ass right on back. He has his cute little knife back. And his toothpicks. Back.
British citizen. Back.
He is back.
No, but I mean that's the point though. What I just said is offensive. I can understand him getting mad about that. Because that is my stand. He is it's just like that Somali who said, "Oh, he's a man from Cardiff." No, he wasn't. He was a fucking Somali and he killed those little girls at that Taylor Swift event. He should have never been there in the first place. Goodbye. That is a xenophobic, if you want to have a racist stance. I just gave it to you. So if you want to be offended, there you go. I will. What Ted said is not offensive.
By the way, he was a UK national.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. He was born and raised there. But I guess that's kind of besides the point. Robbie, your point is right.
Well, if you're going to get offended, I'm offended that I did not offend you. I'm offended that Ted Rawl offended you.
Over the incorrect description.
Completely, totally, and utterly.
I'm sorry that I slurred the traditional Sikh knife. The curved knife was innocent and had nothing to do with this crime.
Yeah. So because you said it was a Sikh knife as opposed to a machete,
right? Yeah.
That you were like, this is racist.
A Bowie knife.
Outrageous. Yeah. Dare you implicate the dignity of a Sikh knife?
No, I promise I'm going to make mistakes in the future. I promise I'm going to fuck up. I promise I'm going to say things that are insensitive. I promise those things. It's not going to be intentional, but it will happen over and over and over because, you know, I'm a human being. And it's
outrageous.
It's just like, man, some people have a stick up their ass.
I'm just so offended that I'm not the offensive person on the show anymore. I've got to up.
Don't worry, Robbie. You'll always offend me.
Screw you, Ted.
I love you. Let's have gay sex. Okay. Let's looking over. Let John D. Cockefeller looking leaving over one story is nuts. But just know if we don't get Clovis Camp by this time next week, we're all fucking out of here. And thanks for the donation. Clovis Cam is getting to be harder to pull up, but I will do my best. I don't want to lose you. Okay. Let's see if there's any ads. I'll take a little commercial break too, to see. I mean, yeah, human beings are weird.
Well, I've had people leave, right? Like, I've been doing this for over a long time. I've had people send angry messages. I've gotten into fights on air where people would get pissed off at something that I've said within the context of a fight with somebody, especially with bigger channels. That gets very weird because you have a lot of people from bigger channels like, I can't believe you're saying this. You're doing blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But over a knife?
Okay. Over it. I mean, let's face it. It's a minor detail. I mean, who cares? I mean, let's get real. Let's just say that, like, no, he actually wasn't stabbed. He was shot. Okay, so? I mean, that's not the story here. The story here is about race and British right-wing politics and rioting. And by the way, you will note that on social media here in the United States, you are not seeing any conservatives talk about the fact that these are right-wingers burning down an English city, right? These are whites who are doing that. The very same people 2 days ago were implying that the soccer hooliganism in Paris was all due to people of color, which was bullshit, which you could tell by the various photos they were posting. It's this picking and choosing of the facts that's really annoying. And, you know, we try to avoid that here, but it's...
I'm glad they're taking a page out of your book, though, because remember a couple of years back when the British government was exposed for covering up for those Pakistani groomers who were trafficking and raping those British girls?
I remember.
I wish that the white Anglo-Saxon Britons would have went to the streets and burned that place to the ground to make a point. This is an ongoing issue, and if you point it out, then you get called a racist or a Nazi or whatever else.
What's an ongoing issue specifically?
Well, the double standard comes to race. Like, for example, if you're in Britain, if you make a joke on Facebook or social media that someone decides is racist or something, they'll put you in jail for it. This is the land of the Magna Carta. This is the land where freedom of speech originally came from. And it's dead there, all because of migrants' feelings. Think about that for a second.
Land of freedom of speech.
I'm having a hard time. Yeah, I'm not making the link. I'm not making the connection. Okay. I'm sorry. I had this morning was a little weak. It's not 1775 coffee. But tell me.
Well, freedom of speech was originally an English idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So what freedom of speech basically means is that you have the right to be offensive. Freedom of speech does not exist to protect speech that's popular. It exists to protect speech that's not popular. That's the whole point of it.
Noam Chomsky.
And we inherited that from the British Empire. In Britain, freedom of speech is dead. Hate crimes, what does that even mean? If I what I just now said about that Sikh fella, if I was a British national, I could be arrested for that. Because I hurt his feelings. I hurt the feelings of this guy who murdered a white British teenager. And if I complain about that, then I'm a Nazi, I'm a xenophobic, I'm okay, whatever.
But you're not in the UK, right?
I understand you're that. Fine. But I'm trying to unpack this because this is my world. Y'all are both lefties, I'm a right winger. Then this same government that will throw you in jail for hurting some migrants' feelings covers up for people who are running rape gangs. That's why right-wingers are pissed off. And to the point, Ted, I am glad that they are adopting the tactics of the yellow vests and looking across the channel to...
We're not lefties.
Whatever. You're to the left of me. But the point that I'm trying to make is... The point that I'm trying to make, though, is that I am glad that these people are starting to stand up and make a ruckus because they're losing their country.
The thing is, okay, the history
go,
of the...
Go
the
for far, it, brothers.
Oh, I know. The far, do it. The, oh, I see. I thought you were talking to us. The far right in the UK is a very... I mean, these are thugs. You wouldn't like them. I mean, these are fucking stupid yobs who, you know, get drunk in the street, get drunk, go out looking for trouble. They commit a lot of crimes, a lot of street crime. I mean, they're just in it for the fun. These are not, you know, these are not like, you know, you they don't have a cogent ideology of yeah. British nationalism.
Did you interview them? Do you know that?
It's well documented. And also I've met some when I was there.
I never have. Going to because, punk shows. I mean, that's what I'm asking, because I'm looking at this from the outside, right? I've never been there.
Dumb as rocks, well, really. Well, most of
maybe,
them.
Maybe so, but I mean, there's a lot of people who vote for AOC who are just as dumb as rocks, too, because she sure. has a big booty. So, I mean, there you go. But the point is, though, is that think about this, and I'll go away, because I'm really about – I'll offend some people. I'll be offended, I'll offend you. If say, half the population of Nairobi – was replaced with white Europeans. Mm-hmm. People call it colonization and condemn it. But half the population of London can now be made up by migrants and immigrants.
I mean, but come on.
And that's a beautiful show of diversity.
No, it's not. What I mean is,
it is replacing the native population of the country, and the people have the right to say no.
If Britain didn't want that, then Britain shouldn't have been fucking around with taking over 51% of the globe.
But you know what? Britain, sure, they took over. They did that, but guess what? They brought the wheel people didn't have it. They brought the written language. They brought power plants, sanitation. They doubled the life expectancy. So, sure.
Those Pakistanis, those uh-huh. people who you are complaining about were people who the British Empire effectively was invading.
I understand.
This is the same thing with France, right? Or all of these groups from the African nations that are in France. Okay. It's because France invaded those nations.
Which empire was larger and more destructive? The Islamic Caliphate in Africa or the Europeans?
If you don't want those people coming to your country, don't mm-hmm. go to there.
But you know what? We went there and we gave them something that they didn't have before called running water. So you're welcome. From Whitey to you. Enjoy.
You believe that it is that the Brits were required in India. I guarantee you that India and these countries would have been perfectly fine without the British Empire.
Yeah, the Mughal Empire was not without its accomplishments.
No, for sure. No, listen, I get it. And I understand the argument is that y'all are making. The point that I'm trying to make, though, is that the Europeans are the only place on the entire planet that is obligated to commit demographic suicide when everyone else is.
They're choosing that
nonsense. Look what the Mongols did. Who is more destructive, the Mongols or the British?
I think it's subjective, but what's your point?
The point is that the native population, the people of Germany, the people of France, the people of Spain, the people of Britain have the right to say, get the fuck out of my country.
Yeah, they invited these people here. In. They let them in. They invaded these places and they brought
that.
Them
and having,
back
And we're having
themselves.
The same problem here. Listen, I get it. And that's the same problem we're having here. That's why I have this immigration debate here in the United States.
That's like me complaining that I'm wearing a striped T-shirt this morning. I put it on myself. It's no one else's fault.
But the government did it without the consent of the people. That's why you're getting the backlash now. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
The government does everything without the consent of the people.
Then you don't get to call yourself a democracy, do you?
No, well, we're in full accord.
Taking photos of people in New York City. I think if they ask the people in New York City, hey, are you okay with the government taking your facial photo at every bridge? The public will say no. Mm-hmm. They did the shit anyway.
I agree.
Yeah, no one.
But the point that I'm trying to make is that the people of Britain, listen to me. People of Britain, if you want to save your country, you got to stand up. You got to start fighting back. Now go.
Yeah,
away.
Well, this is, I mean, look, you know me, I'm always in favor of breaking things in for a righteous cause, as we're seeing at the ICE facility in Newark. But this is, I don't know, doesn't seem like a righteous cause to me. I mean, as JT pointed out, I mean, what more do they fucking want? This isn't a George Floyd situation where the cop was going to walk scot-free. This is like, The perp is in prison for the rest of his life in some dismal, you know, bleak, you know, moist, ancient yeah. British prison, right?
Until he gets released because he's mentally ill, maybe with probation, perhaps a slap on the wrist.
They don't do that there.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Okay. Well, we shall see. Right, we have to move on.
The point I'm trying to make is that of the three of us, I'm the offensive guy. I, to quote someone, Robbie is a typical Southerner. Correct. I don't know what that means, but I'll take it.
I'm not sure that's true either.
And all the love that it's intended.
I'm from the South too. Don't take away my Southern roots. I'm literally I was born and raised here.
F you so. Yes, F you Scott. Well, I was going to say Scott Stantis, but he's not from the South. F you so. You hear that they're making gas. Did you hear now that they're making gas now where we get less miles per gallon? Thanks for the dono. I did not hear that. So that reminds me of when I was a kid. In Ohio, we had something called 3-2 beer. Ever heard of it?
No.
Yeah. Well, so basically, if you were over 21, you could drink normal beer. And if you were 18 to 21, you could drink 3.2% beer as opposed to 6% alcohol by volume beer, which is basically even more piss water than the 1970s beer that you know, like Schlitz and Pabst and Genesee Cream Ale that people drank. So that's like, I guess they're selling 3.2. I don't know. Instead of getting 87 and 93, what is it? 87, 91 and 93 octane gas. It'll be like, the good news is it's 50% cheaper. The bad news is your car may die.
Right. I don't know why they're capitalists. So, you know, plan obsolescence and all that good stuff. I don't know if that's the case. I've never heard that story.
I had not heard that. Well, but I, you know, FUSO is a reliable source, so I am going to look into that. John Park missed the last three mornings live streams. I'm on vacation in New York. Ted, if you got any good food places you could recommend, we're staying in the Long Island City area. Okay, so that's in Queens, right across the river from Manhattan. LIC is great for food. LIC Market, if it's still in business, great place to go eat. If you like Indian food, my old neighborhood, Manhattan Valley, 100th and Broadway, fan fucking tastic. No ambiance, amazing food. All right.
Wait, there's a Russian restaurant in New York that a friend of mine took me to that was so good. And this was decades ago, back when I was living in Poughkeepsie, New York. And I remember we were walking forever. I have no idea where we were. Lee would take me, just kind of walking me around. We end up in a restaurant. And I think it's like Polish sausage with Russian mustard. It was so good. I have no idea what the name of that restaurant is. I don't know if it's a big time restaurant. I don't know if it was a little hole in the wall. I don't remember any part of it. Do you know what it is?
I don't. Do you remember the neighborhood? That helps. Because there's a lot of Russian food. I mean, the center
but I'm not certain.
Yeah, Brighton Beach in Brooklyn is the big Russian neighborhood. There's in Midtown, there's a famous Russian place. I forget what it's called, but it's very expensive. And then by Gramercy Park, there's a Russian place. If you just like looked at Google Maps, that place is fucking great. Gramercy Park is the place, though. All right. My friend Hank turned me on to that place. Okay, Romero Scar. Okay, this is a question I should have asked yesterday. Do you believe the majority of the Lebanese people side more with their government or with Hezbollah? I mean, I kind of know the answer, but just interested.
So it's complicated. Everybody that I talked on the ground says it's a little bit complicated. Hezbollah, in the context of Israeli aggression on attacking Lebanon, because at the end of the day, they are attacking their country and their military is not necessarily firing a shot. I would say the majority with Hezbollah, you do have some Christians, however, and you do have some people who kind of believe in this idea of America and whatnot. But if you're done with the majority, Hezbollah.
Just a reminder, Q&A show coming up at 12 noon. Don't forget, that's in about 2 hours and 14 minutes. Appreciate you tuning in for that. Okay, and so we have, we should talk about the slush fund, and then we'll get into the primaries, right? So yes. The slush fund is no more. I think we have seen the last of the slush fund, even though there are some hardline anti-Trump Republican lawmakers who would like to see it some kind of codified guarantee that they will never hear about this ever again. I think Trump got what he came for, which was immunity for himself and his family from the IRS. And, you know, he would have liked to have spread some joy among MAGA world and J6ers, but he can't do it, and he just knows, and so he's walking away. This is very Trumpy to just let Todd Blanche, you know, let his flunky take the fall and then just walk away from it and say, like, look, there's nothing we can do here. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I don't have a lot to add. What about you?
The only thing I would add to this is, so for one, Trump has already monetized the presidency to a miraculous extent. I think it was New York Times that was going over the money that he's made over the course of the time that he's been president. Trump has made millions, like tens of millions of dollars, like obscene amounts of money. Like in regards to, let's say, organizations that he's been working with, things that are going on with his family, crypto, there's that. The business deals that he's been making, help contracts that he would get to various companies that would have little to no experience, despite the fact that he would kick the Defense Department and say, hey, still work with this company anyway. And they would have a stake in the company. It's obscene. This is just one element of it. I also want to point out that while Trump has not been fulfilling his promises to the American public, when he gets the opportunity to throw a bone to his base, he does so. This is a bone to his base.
Yeah.
Like, meaning he was willing to go that far to throw a bone to his base despite this being
grotesque. Yeah, you have to kind of appreciate that. You know, Democrats don't get that.
No, we don't get that at all. That's why I'm pointing it out. We don't get nice things in the context of the left, or even hell, in the context of Democrats who consider themselves Democrats. He is out here basically doing illegal shit to give them a ton of cash.
He's like, he's like Tony Soprano. He has to spread the, he takes the lion's share, but he knows he has to spread some grift around.
Yeah. And he doesn't mind doing it. He doesn't mind doing it. That should be a lesson for the next president who comes into office.
There's a lot of grift to spread around.
Yeah. You know, when I was in Brazil, I asked this guy, I was shocked when, so, you know, they sent me to Brazil for the election of Bolsonaro and Lula da Silva. I was shocked at how close the election was. I was shocked at how well the election was ran. That's the other part. The number of people that voted, the speed at which the election was called. The election was called like a few minutes after they finished voting. It was very quick. Like, they were on the ball. I remember having a conversation with a guy, and he's like, Lula is a criminal and blah, 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 and he's corrupt and everything else. And I was like, but Lula had like an 80% approval rating when he left. Yeah. I was like, and people were getting education. I saw the stats. People had more money in their pockets. And I was like, so if he's corrupt and yet he's giving money to the population.
Yeah, what's wrong with corruption?
Right. Like, because what I'm getting at is like, if he's corrupt when he's giving back, as opposed to being corrupt and keeping it, which do you prefer?
He's like, yeah, it's like Huey Long. It's the Huey Long model, right?
I mean,
it sounds pretty appealing to me.
Yeah, I know, right? If you're going to be corrupt.
It's like when conservatives say, like, what do you want? A government that just, like, gives things away to the taxpayer? I'm like, yes, I do.
That's what I want.
We have an ad here to read. If your dad is hard to shop for, stop overthinking it. Gift grill-worthy premium steaks. Chicago Steak Company makes the gift feel useful right away. You're not guessing his shirt size, XXXL, buying another gadget, or hoping a novelty gift lands. You're giving him steaks for the grill and a Father's Day spread the family can actually sit down to. Use code DADSDAY on qualifying orders of $179 or more. Chicago Steak Company adds a best grill and dad apron, 16 free 6-ounce premium Angus steak burgers, signature steak seasoning, free standard shipping, and a $25 account credit after the package ships. That's currently framed as a $225 value. Keep it simple. Give dad the grill night. The steaks are the main gift, and the extras make the whole order feel more complete. Go to MyChicagoSteak.com/Rumble, code DADSDAY. That's MyChicagoSteak.com/Rumble, code DADSDAY. I just got to say, by the way, a lot of ladies like steaks, too. Just just, you know, it's a little sexist to assume that carnivorousness is for only for dudes. And it's also a good way to lose weight, to get that protein going. Anyway, let's see. Okay, we got a few comments to get to. Phileas.
By the way, huge strikes between Iran and the U.S. Iran has been bombed.
Yes.
Bahrain and Kuwait.
Yes. We'll probably have to get up to date on that tomorrow, since we only have 8 minutes left, and we still have to talk about the primaries and a few comments. So, all right, Phileas Fogg, Britain dragged India's fraction of global GDP from 25% down to like 5% by banning their looms and extracting $45 trillion in today's money. Thanks. Yeah, that history of imperialism is really worth noting. And this was a society that had built the Taj Mahal, right? They weren't fuck ups. They didn't really need the Brits. And then hilariously, even though the Brits extracted so much wealth from India, and also, by the way, fucked up their culture too. Like, you know, like the it's the Brits who introduced the sari, because the so many women went topless in the tropical heat. They were worried that the Brits were worried that their soldiers were going to get too horny for the locals, and so they were like, we have to get them to cover up. And designed this sort of like orientalist kind of thing. And then, you know, India's become kind of like an uptight, sexually repressed society. I mean, I guess they'd have more than a billion people now if they weren't. But I mean, it's like a lot of fucking.
It's hell though. When I was in Nepal, I used to love those outfits.
Well, they're amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're so attractive.
But it's sort of like the history of, you know, that like there was an NPR show years ago that I listened to. It was fascinating. They talked about how they were trying to track the origin of that thing from the song like Turning Japanese by the Vapors. And it was invented, like it was a vaudeville thing in the United States from like the 1800s. It was, and like they were interviewing people on the streets of Beijing. Like, that's not Chinese, you know, like it's not Asian at all. It's just made up. Wow. It's like the sari is like made up. It's not Indian. Schizo 956. I thought the gas thing was just speculation until I was at a Flying Jade gas station that said they're now using up to 15% gas called E15. It's real. I wonder if it hurts your car though.
Is it ethanol?
I don't know. That's a good question. Sounds like it. Fuad Zarek says Robbie's just upset because he can't afford to buy a home. Well, I mean, that's a good reason to be upset, despite his whole generation being born in America. But a guy coming to America 5 years ago has already bought their first home. Well, that would seem to me like a good reason to be upset.
That's a damn good reason to be upset.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on Team Robbie there.
Shit like that. I mean, that's not a minor thing. That's supposed to be the American dream, right?
Just filming, really. Robbie, I like you, but as a Christian, I don't know how you have no compassion. That's why I left religion. There's no way you guys can quote all these scriptures and read about Jesus, but be so heartless. Robbie, you got to come in and defend yourself.
How am I not showing compassion?
Throw them all out. I mean, that's not going to be fun for the people who get deported. That's not. And also, doesn't Jesus counsel to take in the stranger, take in the foreigner, offer hospitality?
No, he says take care of love your neighbor as yourself. Someone from Somalia is not my neighbor if I'm in Montana. Sorry, Ted.
A foreigner is to be greeted, right?
Hold on. Okay, so first of all, you need to show me anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says that it is your obligation for the foreigner to live there. It's a curse. If you actually read the Bible, one of the ways that you know that your nation is under the judgment of God is that it'll be consumed by the foreigner, by the strangers, is what the Bible calls them. So read your Bible first.
All right. Well, here we go. Leviticus 19:33-34. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Correct.
Okay.
Cursed is
Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow.
Yep. Now I agree with that. And so the point that I'm trying to make And I like how you're trying to pigeonhole this. Listen, come to Q&A. I will take you to school. I'll take you both to school.
Oh, well.
We can turn to Sunday school.
School's going to be open.
But anyway, to address my non-compassion, mm-hmm. my compassion is for my neighbor who cannot have a job, who cannot afford, can't live here. Because wages are being depressed because of immigration. My compassion is for the people who are so hopeless that they have to turn to drugs and alcohol and they are destroying themselves. While my government does absolutely nothing to address their concerns. While at the same time opening up the door, inviting hundreds of thousands of people in. To take the jobs that, because they're being paid less in the form of H-1B visas and working under the counter if they're illegal immigration. Those are the people who I'm concerned about because those people are my neighbors.
I have compassion for the people we said we were going to talk about the primaries about. We got 2 minutes. Robbie, just stay on. Okay, primary results. I didn't think it was terribly exciting. I was kind of hoping that one party, either the Republicans or the Democrats, were going to monopolize the results in the California gubernatorial contest because I hate the runoff system that they have there. And it's not Democratic, but I guess the system kind of didn't fail. And you're going to get a Democrat and a Republican to go on to the main event there. Also, Trump's pick in Iowa did not win for governor, but he only endorsed him a couple of days ago, so I don't know how much that matters. Thoughts? Tea leaves?
I don't have any feelings about the California thing. I mean, it's a supermajority state, and California is kind of a basket case.
Yeah.
That is going to change.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to matter.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot. I agree with you guys. Not a lot to read out of this. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. You've been watching Deep Program with Ted Rawl and Jamarl Thomas for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. We will be back on the air in 2 hours for the Q&A segment. So if you've got any comments or questions for JT or myself, please come in. And of course, obviously, that's especially a time to support the show financially to whatever extent you can, or none at all if you can't. We do appreciate that. We'll bring you up to speed on that. TMI show with me and Milichan coming up right now. Thank you so much. Bye, JT. Talk to you later.
Have a good one, guys. Bye. Be safe.